You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst of friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm all right, man. Got snow down again in Chicago, so.
That's unfortunate. I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt until it started drizzling earlier.
Let's talk Royals prospect. I'm done with you.
Well, I don't know if that's going to be any more inspiring.
Right.
But
it might be gloom and doom again. But
before we jump
in, at least our major league core is intact. Oh wait.
Yeah, no. Exactly. It's going to be bad for Royals fans. But you got that championship. Hold on to that for a while. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. Me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Go ahead and just jump right in. Any Royals prospects that are either close to the majors or high up on your list?
I don't mind Hunter Dozier. He's a 26-year-old prospect, though, so I don't know how exciting that is. First base, third base, outfield kind of guy. Injury prone in his career. Missed significant time in 2017 with a sprained oblique and a fractured wrist. So obviously those are two injuries to worry about. Nothing of significance. It doesn't really matter what he did in 2017 because he always hurt pretty much the whole year. Only limited to 33 games, and only 24 of them were in AAA, and again, he's not himself. He does have major league experience. In 2016, he got a small cup of coffee. In 2016, though, he also made a significant adjustment to his game and put up nice power numbers. His 2016 line in AA and AAA, mostly AAA, 296, 366, 533, 44 doubles and 23 homers in AAA. Now, he's in Omaha in the PCL, which is the PCL, but Omaha's not really that big of an offensive park compared to, you know, the others in that league. So what he did was, it's encouraging. Problem with him is the future position is extremely up in the air. Because you know, as a third baseman, a guy that hits 270 and 15 homers is meh. I think as a first baseman, you definitely don't want that profile. 270, 15 homers, like, what is that, like Danny Valencia-ish, right?
Mm-hmm.
As an outfielder, I think he carries the most value. Maybe even as a third baseman if he can get the, you know, the home runs to tick up. But as an outfielder, 270 or 15 home runs. If you play as a league with five outfielders, that's like, what, 15 teams? What is that, 75 outfielders or something like that? So, you know, you need to – that's terrible math. I don't know what how many that is, but he's a depth piece, basically, in fantasy leagues. Should kill you anywhere, but he's not really going to be an asset in any category. Let's see. Eric Skoglin should be up again this year for the Royals. Pitched 18 innings last year to a 9.5 ERA. Kind of got rocked. Thing I like him the best, 6'6 lefty. So obviously he's got that downhill plane, 180 pounds, so he's got some move projection. Gets ground balls, no plus pitch in the bag. He's a middle rotation starter at best, probably more likely a backhand guy. But he's going to be a guy, 7.5 Ks per nine, 2.5, 3 walks per nine. He'll be the kind of guy that's on like 4 or 5 different teams in your league. Everyone kind of passes him around off the wire, and if you get him and he's hot, you run him out there. If not, then whatever, you know. He's major league ready. Not much time left for him in the minor leagues. Another guy that's major league ready we could look at is Kyle Zimmer. Pour some out for this guy. First round pick in 2012. I think besides Hunter Harvey, I don't know of any more snake bitten injured pitcher than Kyle Zimmer. I think he's got to be a reliever. Hasn't pitched much in the last 4 years. 2017, he kept getting arm fatigue and missed a lot of time. Fastball still has a lot of movement. I haven't seen him pitch this year, though, or last year. So last that I saw, fastball has a lot of movement. Big double plus two playing curveball, 12-6 hook. Falls off the table. It was a nasty pitch. I think he can play up. If the stuff will definitely play up as a reliever. But durability concerns are about. Only pitched 100 innings one time as a pro. If he wasn't hurt, you know, you're looking at a dude that's probably been starting for the Royals for, what, 2-3 years by now.
Mm-hmm.
He formerly had number one upside. I think he has high leverage relief upside now. I guess depending on your format, that might not carry much value in your league, or it could. Miguel Almonte is the next arm. I've always kind of liked him a little bit, but he's another inconsistent guy that doesn't really have an out pitch. Probably a number three starter that doesn't do anything spectacular for you. Always seems to get passed over by the Royals for other guys to make starts. So, I mean, that's worth noting that the Royals really don't want to go to him, so why should you be that interested? I can't quit Josh Stalman. I know I should. The stuff is just nasty. I think he has the upside to be a number two starter for me, or a back end, like full blown top 10 like reliever. Like the stuff is that good. It's just the walks, man, and it's starting to get to the point where, you know, he's got trouble throwing any pitch over the plate. The delivery looks nice and easy, and he still can't throw strikes. The movement also doesn't help. Every pitch has insane, you know, sink and run, and the curveball's two planes, and the slider's two planes. But a career strikeout rate of 11.3 per nine. Nobody misses more bats in the minor leagues consistently like this guy. But he walks 7.3 per nine for his career. So I'm not really sure, you know, what what you want to do with that. Ultimately, I think he has to go to the bullpen just because, you know, 6'3", 200, so he's got the perfect build. But Azusa Pacific University, the same school as Willie Calhoun out in Arizona. And so Stama is an interesting guy to profile and to project out. I still hold out hope. I still like the arm. Especially in this system, there's not a lot of upside. So they kind of need him to pan out, but it's not looking good. I'll start to go back up to my top guy in the system, which is Nick Prado. It was a first-round pick this year, high school first baseman, 247, 330, 414 in the rookie league, 6'1", 195 from the left side, four homers and 10 stolen bases. He's athletic. The lazy comp is he's kind of got the Eric Hosmer starter kit as like a skill set. You know, good hit tool, question the power. A lot of people said this about Hosmer. They projected Prado to be a 290 and 20 home run bat. Could chip in 10 steals. He's a back-end top 100 prospect for me because I do love the swing. Probably aggressive ranking, but I do like Prado. But he's going to be a long time away, being a high school first baseman, so it'll be a bit. Khalil Lee's got some significant upside. 17 homers and 20 steals this year. Only problem is I don't think he's ever going to hit enough. 62% contact rate in the SAL League. 62%, that's terrible. 237, 344, 430, triple slash. So it's get an idea of the skills. The hit tool is going to drag him down. If he can hit even below average, hit tool up to below average, you're looking at a guy that can be a fantasy stud in the Keon Broxton type mold. But I just don't know if it gets up there. 5'10", 182 from the left side, lefty. Third-round pick in 2016 out of high school. Should be raw guy. If I'm taking a flyer on anyone in this system, though, besides Prado, it probably is Khalil Lee just for the upside. But, you know, again, I'm not optimistic on the hit tool. The hit tool is going to hold him back. MJ Melendez is a catching prospect I like, high school catching prospect, so that's probably all you need to know about that. 262, 374, 417, 13% walk rate. Again, struggle making contact, but he's a high school kid. Good defensive skills. The glove was actually supposed to be ahead of the bat, but he had four home runs and stole four bases. So he might move a little bit faster than you think. Foster Griffin, 6'3", 200-pound lefty, double A, only struck out seven guys per nine. So he's probably a back-end guy or a, you know, short-term reliever. Last high-upside guy that I like a lot is Sully Matias, international free agent from the Dominican Republic, 19 years old, extremely raw. Contact rate sucks, but speed and power. if he puts everything together, you're looking at a 260 hitter with 30 homers and 20 steals. I just don't think it happens because, and if it does, it's literally going to be in like 2030. It's going to be a long time. Plus, defender, I think, in center field, but I think he's going to get bigger and add some pop, so he's going to have to move to right field. Chase Vallett's a catching prospect with some power, no hit tool, good approach, but 90% walk rate and 12 home runs. But the only stats you want, because a 55% contact rate, this isn't going to play. Might have to move out from behind the plate, and the bat won't survive it. He's kind of Mike Zunino-esque in the sense that he's not as good defensively. So, yeah. Nicky Lopez is an advanced college shortstop out of Creighton. I ultimately think he comes up in, you know, 2-3 years. He's in a kind of a sum of all of his parts kind of guy, plus arm and above average speed. I think he's a league average hitter and batting average, a below average power guy, but he can steal 20 bases for the Royals. It's going to be a bit, though. Michael Gigliotti was his fourth round pick this year out of Lipscomb. 77% contact rate, which is actually refreshing because nobody in this system hits for contact except for evidently him. One home run, 7 stolen bases in Sally League, but you know, overall, the package, he had 7 home runs and he stole 52 bases. As a fourth round pick in 2017, 6-2, 1.73, left-handed swinger, gonna stick in center field, high floor because he knows what he's doing at the plate. I think he's a 260 hitter. Ultimately, I don't know about the power. I think ultimately he's probably a 10-12 home run guy and probably 15-20 steals, if not more, but probably 20-25. So Gigliotti's a nice guy to own. He's going under the radar a lot. Everywhere I've seen, Scott Blewett's almost major league ready starter to be a number four. So yeah. The system is lacking the high upside talent. Well, it's not lacking high upside talent, but those guys have so many question marks. It's really doubtful that guys like Khalil Lee and Michael Gigliotti can reach their ultimate potential. MJ Melendez again, Josh Staumont. I like these guys, but yeah, there's better systems out there and there's safer investments.
All right. That's going to wrap us up for this episode. You can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB, me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Appreciate everybody listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.